Hello, I'm Veronica Scarsbrick. Thanks for joining me. In tune with Remembrance Day, I thought I'd focus on how we as Catholics think of our departed souls. Remembering how one parish priest in England had told me how he'd noticed how much more meaningful the Feast of All Souls seemed to be with his parishioners, as opposed to All Saints. He's Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, who's also the coordinator for Catholic contribution to Liverpool's year as the 2008 European Capital of Culture.
To enjoy the Feast of All Saints, you have to have caught on, really, to what sanctity is, what being holy is, what being a saint is. It's not just for the people who are dead, who are supposed to be holy in this life. But that message, despite being repeated many, many times, doesn't have as much impact on people emotionally, on most people, I should say, emotionally, as the fact of the loss of people who are very dear to them. And to have a special time in the year when you can dedicate time and prayer to the memory of your dear departed, as we say, I suppose that responds to a very, very deep need in all of us. Sometimes what you discover in the preparation for funerals is the amount of guilt in people. They often transfer it to somebody else, like the undertaker or the police or the nursing staff in a hospital or even the priest. We become responsible for the death of the person who's died. But that's only a temporary thing. It's a shock reaction. But I think the guilt persists sometimes. And then there's another, probably much more common fact, is simply missing people. My Archbishop said to me the day he welcomed my mother's body into the church, which he was very kind to do, he said that somebody had told him of his own mother when she died, "You'll get used to it, but you'll never get over it." And that really helped my family, those who remained. And I've often thought of it myself and said it to other people, and it does seem to be a great truth. You do get used to the missing someone, but you never really get over it. You still miss them. And I think the fact of the church adopting a day when masses are offered for the souls of the faithful departed, and in fact a whole month when such things happen, is simply recognising how real that need is and how important it is to respect the name, the person, the mortal remains and the memory of those who've died. And I think if you go to other countries than my own around Europe, there's vast numbers of people wandering around their own home country to go to visit the dead, as they say here in Italy. And Dare dei Morti, some people in some countries even spend the night of All Saints in the cemetery and have a kind of party with the dead people. Lots of other places they simply put lights on the tombs.
Or recite the rosary and eat chestnuts where my sister lives.
Yes, I used to think it was mad at first, but as I've got older, hopefully slightly wiser, I think it's great that the people are prepared to show what they think of the people who've died. There also is a bit of party atmosphere in some countries as well, so that's not bad. I think that's always to be encouraged.
Why do we have to pray for the souls, our departed souls?
I don't think too many people feel that it's an obligation, something imposed on them. I think people feel the need personally to have some kind of contact with the people that meant a lot to them. And when we explore a funeral liturgy, I get a bit worried sometimes that people say it's in thanksgiving for the life of the person who's being buried or cremated or whatever. It used to be called a requiem mass, a mass for the repose or the rest, eternal rest of the soul of the person who's died. When I was a little boy, we had to learn all about our faith from a little book called the Catechism. And the two worst sins in the book were presumption and despair. I can understand why despair is so bad. I've lived pretty close to it once in my life. And I know a lot of people who've remained close to it through terrible sufferings of theirs. But presumption is one we often forget about. And I think to presume that somebody goes automatically to heaven is one of those sins that was reckoned to be difficult to forgive, so to speak. I'm in deep water here, but I hope the idea is clear. I haven't got it in me to presume that a person who's died is automatically taken into heaven. I think all of us are aware of our own shortcomings, and I would certainly be delighted if the people who've promised to pray for me do so. And if I die tomorrow, I hope they continue to pray for me, because I reckon there's a fair amount of cleaning up to do in my soul department before I'd be fit to meet the Lord. I'd like to meet the Lord quite soon, but as I say, it's like one of those chance meetings with somebody very important to you, and you feel, oh, I haven't got the right clothes on, I haven't had my hair cut, I haven't had a shave, I haven't bought the right dress. I mean, I wouldn't say that, but you might. I think it's very important to feel we're in good nick, or on top form when we meet somebody important, and the most important meeting I've got ahead of me is one with God. So I think if I'm ready to have people pray for me when I'm gone, I'm more than glad to pray for other people when they're gone, so to speak. I pray for my mum. We had her anniversary recently, and I asked all the people in the church to pray with me for my mother. Then they came and asked me about her and how she died and so on. I think it's just a continuation in some strange form of the presence of the person among us. I knew my mum's weaknesses, but I don't think that precludes her from God's grace at all. She's not excluded. But anything to help her on her way, so to speak. And that's true of all our beloved departed.
Thanks there go to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, who, beyond serving two parishes in England, also happens to be coordinator for Catholic contribution to Liverpool's year as the 2008 European Capital of Culture. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.